Hello, this is my guest, Sarah Howard. Sarah, welcome to Human Music.
Hi, Mira. Thanks for having me.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, my name is Sarah Howard, and I've had music in my life for a long time. Grew up singing in church, playing piano in church, piano lessons all growing up, and discovered guitar my early teen years. Started playing live, writing songs, and gigging around 18 or 19, and really have just done that my entire life. band, solo, duo, restaurants, bars, festivals. There's been years that I've spent more time or less time, but it's always been a constant and always something that I've come back to.
Wonderful. Welcome. So the song that you picked was As by Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about why you chose that song.
Well, you know, it's almost impossible to have a favorite song. But I've always found that if I had to have a favorite one, this would be the one. And why is that? I think the main reason, just off the cuff in my heart reason, is I'm just always, this song, it's like a punch to the stomach of like gratitude, God, spirituality, whatever that is for you. Lyrically, I tend to, I would say I write music based on the feeling, based on the music, based on the sound, and lyrics maybe come along later. But this is one song that, you know, if I play it for the first time for someone, I just say, just listen to these words. Just listen to what he's saying. And it is so, it's so high level. It's just about love, gratitude, faith, everything about it's like, so around the sun, the earth knows she's revolving. The rosebuds know to bloom in early May. Everything has a course, and there's something very, you know, I think we were talking off camera a little bit earlier. It's like, I wonder how much of my love for this song has to do with like the growing up in church thing, because there's such a praising of something in this song that for me, it like totally captures my heart. I get wrapped up in the praising, whether it's praising the Lord, whether it's praising, being grateful, or just being nature, whatever it is for you. If you really listen to the song and listen to the words, I think you have to be dead inside not to be moved by it.
Oh, that's a great connection to the church and this feeling of gratitude and praise, because there is that kind of call and response aspect of the song. And the song is long, and there is this call and response at the end, and mm-hmm. in the middle is it's considered maybe a chorus, but it does really feel like a congregation.
I like that, congregation. I hadn't thought about that word exactly. That's exactly it. That's great.
And I also was excited that you picked this song because 20 years ago, I asked a musician, how can I develop my songwriting skills? And he said, songs in the key of life, Stevie Wonder will teach you everything you need to know about songwriting. And I think that that's really true. So very excited that you pick this song.
That's so great. If I may, songs in the key of life. I mean, the entire record, both, you know, the double record. I could easily choose any song off of that, actually. And it's funny that we were talking earlier about who was playing on this record, and I can't remember what year it is. I think it was like 2011. And I don't know if he did a lot of these shows, but he did one show in LA, the entire Songs in the Key of Life from start to finish with the original musicians. Herbie Hancock was there, and it was, I was lucky enough to go, and it was hearing this song, hearing all of the songs. It's just, it's like a larger than life moment to be in the room. Such an iconic record. Yeah, from start to finish. So that's when your songwriter told you, when your songwriter friend told you about that, that's what that reminds me of, is just like what an effect this record still has, every song on it.
And it's interesting that Herbie Hancock is on there too, because there is also that jazz improv kind of feel to it, where it doesn't feel scripted in those instrumental parts. It feels very exploratory and mm-hmm. free. So I think it's interesting that this song, and it was on the pop charts, and so, but it's not a typical pop song, mm-mm. and but it speaks to people, right? Which I think it's amazing that he brought an audience of people to Herbie Hancock.
Right. And a 7-minute song. I'm sure they cut it for radio, but.
Exactly. I also thought of the song, jazz standard, Always. I'll be loving you always. That's the line in the jazz. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that he used that. It's a completely different interpretation of that statement. And I think, you know, part of what you're talking about is like applying that to a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. And the line, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he actually, you know, you have these parts in music. It's just like this one line or just this one drum lick that just makes the whole song for me. There is a line in this song. It's at the very end, and until the rainbow of the stars out in the sky. And then he says something like, ain't that loving you? And it's just, there's this impact. He says all of these amazing lyrics of, and to me, I think it is, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, it is almost like God is speaking, or whatever your spirituality, or just being grateful for what you have, or just the love in your life, or whatever it is. He loves you. What? God, now I'm looking through the lyrics right now because I know them all, but you'd have to listen to me sing them all. Until the work is done. Oh, until the rainbow burns and stars out in the sky. Where does he say? God knew exactly where he wanted you to be placed. And then there's somewhere in the song that says, yeah, that ain't that loving you. After he describes all of these things that work in perfection. The sea to the sky, the dolphins, every single thing. And then he finishes up with, ain't that loving you? And it's always just given me such goosebumps of like, you almost do want to jump out of your seat and go, yes, in that moment. So I know you'll listen to the song again at the end of the segment. So everybody be listening to that part and tell me if you don't get goosebumps.
Yeah, that part is really powerful. I really love that God knew exactly where he wanted you to be placed. So make sure when you say you're in it, but not of it. And I think that really speaks to the spiritual rather than the religious, maybe, you know, the sense of like humility, but also a sense of a power greater than yourself. You know, you're in it. You're in the stream of life. You're in the key of life. But you're not life. You're not it. And I just love that sense of humility too. There's a jubilance, but there's also like an acknowledgement of kind of more of the challenging aspects of life, or the darkness, in that, you know, there's earlier in the lyric, you know, he says, just as time knew to move on since the beginning, and the seasons know exactly when to change, just as kindness knows no shame, know through all your joy and pain that I'll be loving you always. And I just love that line about kindness not knowing any shame, because I just feel like generally, you know, shame is something that a lot of us feel about a lot of situations, and we just never talk about it, I think. And it's interesting that we have this opportunity in this song to be like, hey, there doesn't have to be shame in this, you know, like it can just be kindness, and it can just carry you through joy and pain. So that, you know, that line spoke to me. I mean, when I write lyrics, I often feel a little bit of shame, like, oh gosh, does this make any sense? Is it having any kind of impact? Does it sound silly? You know, there's a fear of being judged, I guess, that comes with it. And so I just, that line did speak to me.
You know what's funny? I hadn't really thought about that exactly. But I think, you know, as a testament to like whatever, however you want to call it, songs of praise, inspirational songs, spiritual songs, part of having some spirituality, I think, is like being a better person yourself. So that to me calls out like, you know, kindness knows no shame. Like that's what we all should aspire to. Because this song is all about love. Like, I'll be loving you until this, till the earth starts turning right to left. I'll be loving you till the sun denies itself. I'll be loving. So it's like, if we can take on songs like this as a way of being, like the kindness knows no shame, it becomes even more powerful. But it's almost like something to aspire to.
And his personality kind of exudes that. You know, when you see
he's a pretty God-loving person to, you know, I mean, if you listen to any of his music, it's there, it's in it. I mean, he is one of my favorite artists. I think that is probably a big part of it, not because of like traditional Christianity God or just something about the gratitude, like the being full of life. Like this, like you said, this song, it's wild, it's full of life, it's joyous. It's like, you want to hop up and run up and down the aisles and clap your hands. Okay, that's the kind of church I grew up in. But, you know, it feels like that musically and lyric-wise. So, yeah, I think so.
And it's, you know, the groove of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just finds that groove. And you do want to get up and move. And there is something about movement and spirituality. I mean, I do think about some of these spiritual practices like yoga and Tai Chi. You know, there's a movement that connects us to
absolutely
something greater than ourselves. And then he takes this on in groove, you know, mm-hmm. through groove.
Yeah. Yay, God through groove. I'll sign on to that.
So it's like it's available to us through music.
Absolutely.
Know, this spirituality. If it makes us, if it inspires us to get up and dance, like that is a connection to some sort of spirit. And, you know, here on Vashon, one thing I love about this community is that people are not shy about getting up and dancing.
That is true.
I love that because I think that there's a lot of, you know, if you don't feel comfortable as a dancer, you know, there's a lot of inhibitions. Is that the right word?
I think that's the right word. Okay. I think that's one of many words. Yeah, inhibitions, definitely. You just feel, again, like you might be shamed or embarrassed. I think I know a lot of people feel that. And what's interesting about, and it almost does become spiritual. A piece of music almost does become spiritual when you're just unable to sit still. Mm. When you feel unable to sit still because of a music, which is just an amazing thing that music has. Like out of all of the things that we share as humans, eating, drinking, those sorts of things, it's like music has made the cut to being something that like affects us so deeply that when a piece of music, you can't not get up. You can't not get up and dance. There's something there. There's something like superhuman there. There's something else happening that something moves you so much where you just have to shake your body. That's pretty powerful.
You know, it's interesting because the chorus is kind of repetitive and long, as we mentioned, the song is long. But I wonder if it's almost a kind of mantra, because I think prayers can be mantra. Mm. Like you don't have to come up with a different prayer every time you pray. You know, there's some of these, you know, these rote prayers that, you know, if you're talking about a Western tradition, you know, the Serenity Prayer, if you're talking about, you know, Eastern, you know, non-Western perspective, you know, it's like a mantra or a chanting kind
a chant,
of thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I listen to it, I'm like, yeah, this, you know, it's sort of riffing on the same chorus lines, but it does kind of lull you into a state of calm, maybe, because, yeah, there is a lot of agitation in our minds, in our daily lives, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of us do use music to decompress and, you know, just kind of massage the brain cells a little bit. So yeah. Not so uptight.
I love that. And then I hadn't had this thought either, so this discussion is interesting, but is in that sort of in the spirit of that mantra or that chant, it's like then the words, you know, it's all really positive affirmations. I mean, until the day that you are no more, I'm loving you, starts turning right to left. The trees and season up and fly away. Like every, it is sort of a mantra. It's like positive affirmation after positive affirmation. And that like no matter all of these things happen and I'm still loving you. Now, whether that's, you can decide what that is for you. But to me, it seems like the spiritual world, song of gratitude. So it is sort of like a mantra or chant.
And, you know, I think a lot of my spirituality comes from my connection to nature. And so I also love that he does make that connection. You know, he says, until the day the earth starts turning right to left, until the earth just for the sun denies itself, until dear Mother Nature says her work is through, mm-hmm. until the day that you are me and I am you. You know, there is that connection to nature. And I do find that a lot in like these jazz standards too, you know, these references to the season or the falling leaves, you know, autumn leaves, you know. So it seems to kind of be similar to that tradition of, you know, connecting to nature. But I think in some jazz standards is more like of a pining. And in here, it's really like, you know, how far can we expand our minds? Like, mm-hmm. how far does the universe exist? And what are the limitations of our consciousness, you know?
And to me, a celebration. So it's like interesting. Like, I was thinking it's a celebratory song. But when you put it that way, it's like, let's celebrate on that large scale. Like, what is possible? What can we do? How can we behave? What's the boundaries of the way we can act in love, and, you know, that how big can we get?
Yeah, you know, it actually makes me think of the album cover, which is, I'm pulling it up now. It's this infinite, it feels like an infinite circle. It's not really infinite, but it's got like this glowing layers of circle getting further and further away. And, you know, that really makes me wonder about this like consciousness and spirituality. It's like we're moving towards a path or endpoint, but maybe it's not about the endpoint. It's the experience of moving towards the endpoint. So it's not that any of these things that he's singing about could ever happen, but who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just...
That's how long I'm going to be until these things... we are in constant. This is what we're doing. This is forever. This is how the gratitude that we're in.
Yeah.
Infinite.
Yeah, I feel like motivational speakers kind of... Mm-hmm. get a bad rap, you know. I think, you know, I have mixed feelings about them, let's say, but and I do wonder about, I think it's great that there are songs that capture kind of the, you know, just the darkest parts of our experience and being able to identify with those challenging things and listening to someone singing about something in a way that you're like, yes, that is what I'm going through. Yeah, my boyfriend just broke up with me and I feel like crap. And I'm going to listen to a song about heartbreak because that's what's going to help me connect to another person during this time of darkness and isolation. You know, that's just one example. I'm not saying that that's what's happening in my life, but just as an example. But then, like the songs that are joyful, I do think pop music, although I am not a consumer of pop music, and it drives me a little crazy when songs get stuck in my like head, you know, kind of like, I really don't just want to be thinking about that song, but there might be some, you know, pull there where it's that catchiness that for whatever reason, people vibe with that and can get some relief through that, you know?
I think it is that it doesn't require a lot, you know? I have a couple songs in my head, as a matter of fact. I'm like, yep, they don't require, and they're just like feel good. They don't require surface, one dimensional, like these sort of words to describe it. And that's okay too. But yeah, if you feel like somebody's in a very sad mood, melancholy mood, if I'm in a melancholy mood, I go to Tori Amos and it's wonderful and I love it. Couldn't be better. I'm like, thank you for letting me like, you know, be in it. Can't get over things to be in it. But this wouldn't be a great song for that. Like, this is too much joy. I don't want to hear this.
Well, going back to his songwriting ability, I mean, there is a complexity in the structure and the chords, and there is a complexity there in the musicianship. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we were looking at all the musicians that contributed to this, you know, Nathan Watts on bass and hand claps, right? Dean Parks on guitar, Herbie Hancock, Fender Rhodes, hand claps. More hand claps. Mm-hmm. Jerry Brown drums, Stevie Wonder lead and backing vocals, Fender Rhodes, Mary Lee Whitney backing vocals, Yolanda Simmons backing vocals, Dave Hansen, Yolanda Simmons, Josette Valentino, hand claps. You know, there are a lot of sounds happening in this song, and they just like are very activating and stimulating for your brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cymbal.
Yeah, when it changes to the hi-hat at the end, like, oh, it's so gosh. Like, I don't know. And simple thing. How many times has that happened? I don't know what it is. It just wraps it up in a way that it's like taking it to the next level. That's funny. As soon as I raised my hand to do hi-hat, you knew exactly the part I was talking about. So
yeah, it's very almost cool. Like a parade, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's just this steady, kind of, like, yeah, it's great.
Like, let's go out on the streets and bang on
celebrate.
Some cans or something. You know, I saw the concert at VCA. There's this Korean jazz group called Seum, and there is a Korean instrument which is just a round tin. Instead of having a tambourine, it's just a round metal tin that you just clank and you can kind of mute it and things like that. And it's kind of used in traditional Korean folk songs to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And so I it was like a nice surprise to hear that in kind of this jazz ensemble experience.
Oh, yeah.
And so it kind of tells a story of that you can kind of be carried by this sound, you know, because you're hearing, he's in on it, but there are all these other things going on, and then like different things, then you're like, oh, and there's that guitar too. So it's like it's like these breadcrumbs that once you start listening to those different sounds and you hear other sounds coming in and out, and it's sort of hard to know what to focus on exactly in this song. It's sort of like, whoa, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of percussion. You know, that happens a lot in like salsa music and things like that. People are like, what am I listening to? Because there's so many like ding, 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 boing, boing. You know, there's all these like percussion pieces that start to happen. And one thing that stands out, and I don't know that it stands out in the rest of the music, but I always think of the beginning. There's that bass line, boom, doo, doom, da. Right before it goes in, I'm doing bass, doom, 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 right now, bass speak.
Your technique is excellent. I know. In studio.
I'm using my hands.
Using your hands. Yeah,
that's perfect. The only way I can do it. Doom, doo, doom, doo, 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 doo. And of course, the vocals. You know, as a singer, I was just telling you before we started recording about how these were the ages, you know, this was the age of backing vocals and how much backing vocals add to a piece of music. I feel like it's coming back a little bit now. I'm seeing a lot more of that stuff where it felt like it went away for a while. And from the very beginning of the song, then there's a lot of places in the song where backing vocals shine. But it's like right from the start, which I think right after that bass line is his voice mainly. But again, many voices together, there's some humanity in it. If anybody has seen opera or seen a large choir and just they hit one note and you get tears in your eyes and you're like, why? Why is that? How does that happen? Why does that happen over and over again to us? There's something else. There's some humanity in there that just like hits you in the heart. So there's something about those big choirs. And then, and I think there's a few places, you know, I personally love writing vocal arrangements like horn lines, you know, just at the end of a line and multiple voices, maybe some harmonies. And I think you hear a little bit of that kind of feeling in this song. But I think where it really shines are those like choir-like choruses. Yeah.
And there's nobody that sounds like Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
You really hear his voice, you know immediately that's Stevie Wonder. As a vocalist, like what inspires you in terms of the song? Like what do you bring? What is your lesson learned from the song as a vocalist?
That's a good question. Lesson learned as a vocalist. If I had a lesson to learn, interesting, it wouldn't be on the backing vocals and the big vocal parts. It would be in the clarity of the verse parts. And taking those home because they are so powerful. And it's just it's really nice range too. As around the sun, the earth knows she's revolving. And the rosebuds know to bloom in early May. So then it goes up there and it's just like it's just this sweet melody. Mm. And so I think as a vocalist, like if I was going to cover this song, that's where I would really like dig in and just like butter smooth, chest voicey, intentional melody, as I think is sort of, and that's not sort of a new discovery. Like I said, I always think about the big backup vocals, but I think that anchors the song really well.
I love that. There is something about, like, you can sing words, but then you can sing the meaning.
Mm.
So I feel like I'm more successful as a singer if I'm focused on the meaning of what I'm singing about versus does my voice sound right here?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like, you know, being too caught up in the technical aspects of it rather than just trusting, like, this lyric is powerful and I can just sing the meaning behind that lyric. That's what I hear you say.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love hearing another singer say that because it's so easy to get caught up in the technical things. It's so easy to just go, you know, it's not quite right or like this, and and or like how did I sound, and or if there's like a little shriek or a bump or a hiccup, feeling like, oh, we have to do it again, whereas others in the room are like, no, that gives it the grit, you know. So sometimes we struggle with that as a singer, but you're right. I think you're exactly right that if you focus on what you're trying to say, if what you're trying to say is not like light surface, like some of the other, you know, pop tunes or whatever out there, which are fine. If you're really trying to say something and you lean into what you're saying, your voice is going to deliver that in that authentic way, right? I mean, that's just like actors. You get there and then you use the words, and the product is colored by that. Yeah, and that's a great thing to remember.
Yeah, you're really an open channel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whatever is supposed to come out.
Yeah.
I think that in the age of YouTube and, you know, child prodigies, and, you know, you just hear like there are all these, you know, competition, singing competition, you know, there are a lot of people who have incredible voices that are out there. And for me, it's easy to be like, well, I don't have a voice like that, so maybe I shouldn't be wasting my time singing, you know. So it's kind of when I hear singers where you're just like, I know who that is, that person has that distinct quality. It's like not pretentious at all. It inspires me to be like, well, I can be my unique voice, and that is enough.
Thank you for saying that, because yeah, we need those voices. You know, not the fact is, like, there's always somebody better, right? There's always a better singer. I remember Madonna saying that back in the 80s. She's like, you know, there's always going to be a better singer. You know, and so let's just go ahead and let's know that there's always going to be better singers. Like that's a given. But what about the music? What about the music? What about the people who are giving us the music? I mean, I love singing, and I'm a pretty good singer, I think, and I love hearing other singers. But what I really aspire to, which I haven't perfected, I might never, or something I really admire, are like songwriters. Because, you know, it's like a movie without a script, right? The songs are what really make it. I mean, we all know plenty of songs of people who aren't singers, right? I mean, we can name people who aren't wonderful singers, you know, Bob Dylan, all those folks, you know, that just like deliver another perspective. So yeah, we need those people as much as we need singers. There will always be amazing singers. There will always be amazing singers better than either one of us or whatever. But it's the people with a story and that can connect to an audience with, that's not a perfect voice. It doesn't take a perfect voice to connect a story or a feeling or an emotion.
Yeah, and Patti Smith has said that, you know, she considers herself a poet. But she knew that music was a vehicle for people to hear her poetry. Mm-hmm. And so she made that connection for herself. Like, for herself, I want people to hear these words that I'm creating. So let's put it to music and have that interaction. I think also she's just such a great live performer. There is something about communing with the people who are hearing you, and that back and forth. You don't necessarily get that when you're sitting with a book of poetry, reading
it. It's like
it,
the congregation,
you know.
Again. I'm starting to really go, oh, playing music is like having a congregation. Never really thought about it like that before, but that's a really good thing I've come out of this interview with, is that.
And here we are 50 years later, after this song was first released. 1977 when the album, or when the song was released. So I can't do the math right now, but here we are talking about the lyrics of this song and the music of the song. And it's still relevant today. Absolutely. As it ever was. So thank you so much, Sarah Howard,
thank
for joining
you.
Us
it
today.
Lovely.
It was so nice talking with you. Yes.
I've got to go listen to the rest of the record.
Yes. Well, let's listen to the song again.
Start it now.